numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio. Why did I go Game Plus? All of a sudden, it just got in my role right there. All brought to you by BetMGM. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Kelly, you know what I failed to do last segment?
Pro tip.
Pro tip comes from the very first segment. If you had TCU pre-flop, it was incumbent on you to recognize that this thing was an unabashed slaughter, apparent to all. Mid-second quarter, probably the latest you should have recognized that. Humility was really your biggest asset last night if you had TCU pre-flop. Have the humility to realize that you're on the wrong side and to then take advantage of in-game lines. Your VSiN pro tip of the hour. Humility in some of your bets. We do one each and every day, every hour. That's at least 20 a day right here on the network. Searchable at VSiN.com for pro subscribers only. Ladies and gentlemen, we do this each and every year. Always thrilled to have him on. He is the creator of Football Outsiders. We like to have him on every quarter of the season, but we certainly have done this one right before the postseason. I would say maybe 10 years in a row with the podcast before this, making his annual appearance, kind enough to take a few moments away from responding to irrational people on Twitter, enraged by his highly offensive analytics-based tweets. It's Aaron Schatz, everybody. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm good. There have been fewer irrational people on Twitter lately responding. I mean, not in general. There's plenty of irrational people on Twitter in general, but responding to me, there have been fewer than recently. Recently, there have been fewer than usual.
Do you think that's because you have just found your audience? Do you think, what do you make of that? Anything?
I think it's really interesting. I think that everybody understands the Vikings this year, including Vikings fans. Like Vikings fans, most of them kind of know that they're playing with house money. Like the Vikings require less constant explanation than they would have 10 years ago.
Well, let's start there. That's a great point. Are they, you came on here for the quarter poll one at the three quarter mark, and you said, I don't want to call them a fraud, but I do want to, and I've quoted you on this many times since, I call them historically interesting.
Yeah.
Are they historically interesting to the point that they are the most anomalous of all teams in the history of Football Outsiders?
I think pretty close, yes. This is crazy. I mean, I will admit, our DVOA ratings have the Vikings lower than most advanced play-by-play ratings, so I don't know quite why we have them so low. Like, I would expect them to be around 21st or 22nd. Instead, we have them 27th at 13-4. So, but they're by far the worst team in our ratings ever to be even close to that. They are the ninth worst team in our ratings to ever make the playoffs since 1981. It's wild. I mean, the fact, you know, one of the very easy, you don't need to break down play by play to project how teams should do based on just points scored and allowed. It's called the Pythagorean projection, right? It was invented by Bill James for baseball. We carried it over to football. Based on that, remember, the Vikings were outscored this year by 3 points.
Yes.
The Vikings are the biggest outperformer in NFL history. Like, I went back to 1950. Like, before 1950, it's a different sport, honestly. But if you go back to 1950, like, they're the first team to ever outperform their Pythagorean projection by 4 wins or more. It's insane.
Yeah, because, I mean, they should be 8-8-1, right? Like, based on Pythag. Instead, they're 13-4. Kelly, I just want to repeat what Aaron said, because Kelly's team Vikings over here has been known to don a Viking hat on the show. Should be pointed out, Aaron. The ninth worst team since 1981 per DVOA, per Football Outsiders, to make the postseason.
It's wild. Like Aaron said, though, I think everybody who's, look, if you're a Vikings fan or if you're betting on the Vikings, yeah, you know who they are at this point. Like, it is, it's fraudulent. Am I betting them this week again? Yeah, I am, because it's the fraudulent bull. I think the Giants are pretty much just as bad.
Oh, yeah, the Vikings, first of all, Vegas knows this. Like, the lines, you know, again, I don't know if 10 years ago it would have been different. But now Vegas knows, smart gamblers know, everybody knows. The lines reflect this. And yes, the Giants also outperformed their DVOA. We have their DVOA as higher. And I like Giants plus +3 for this weekend. But this is the Fraud Bowl.
Yes.
So like the Vikings got, this is the best possible first round that the Vikings could have gotten. It's a good chance they're going to win this. And then go to San Francisco and get completely slaughtered.
Okay. I have a comment and then I have a question. So the comment is DVOA for those who don't know what we're talking about. DVOA, it's a proprietary stat that measures the success of any given play compared to the league average level of success for that play, given the situation at the time and all the factors inherent within that. Is proprietary stat, defense value over adjusted at Football Outsiders. So when we refer to DVOA, that's what we're talking about. But you just brought up, we brought up the Vikings. We just talked about the Vikings and the Giants, which then begs the question, is this the worst? Because I was saying yesterday, I was like, look, I'm going to miss all of this in February. That's the one thing I want to state in advance. When football's over, I'm going to miss all of this terribly. But I said yesterday, I go, look, this is the worst bunch of teams, and I don't think I'm being prisoner of the moment, that I've ever seen in a postseason. The wild card week alone can't absorb them. Three will get through the division round. So I ask you, through DVOA, is it the worst collective bunch of teams to ever make the postseason?
Well, part of that is there's two extra teams, right? I mean, 2004 was pretty bad because the whole NFC, other than Philadelphia, was bad in 2004. Like, you had a playoff game between Seattle and St. Louis where I think both of those teams were in the bottom five of our ratings for 2004. Like, 2004 was pretty bad. But this year has been marked by a very low standard deviation of teams. The teams are very closely grouped around average, right? We have 14 teams above average and 18 below. Everything is kind of set off by the fact that we have this group of seven teams that is far ahead of the rest of the league. For most people, it's six teams, right? Cincinnati, Kansas City, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Dallas, San Francisco. Our ratings include Baltimore, but we have those teams much better than the rest of the league. So it's just a weird year overall.
Your ratings include Baltimore. What do you do with a team like Baltimore headed in the postseason where you have no idea who's playing quarterback?
I think for our picks against the spread on Football Outsiders, I gave them a 50% chance of Lamar Jackson playing. But obviously, they're a very different team without Lamar Jackson playing, and we should know more in a day or two about whether Lamar Jackson is going to play. Like, they're going to do everything possible to help him, but the initial sound does not sound good, like he's going to play.
What is your, when we get to, let's get to that, let's get to these this week's picks. And I have a whole bunch more to ask you about your preseason projections and more than that. But when it comes to this week's plays, what are your favorite ones then?
I mean, my favorite is Giants plus +3 because of the fact that we have, I mean, I realize we're a sort of an exception out there. We have the Giants higher than the Vikings in our ratings. And I like the plus +3. The Vikings have played so many close games this year. God, I would love Giants plus +4 even more, but the Vikings have played so many close games this year that I feel like even if the Vikings win, you're just going to push this bet. Like, what are the odds that this game on either side is more than, I mean, 3 points? It's every Vikings game is one possession. The other one that I really like is I think that the Miami quarterback situation is a mess, and I know it's kind of extreme, but I like Buffalo minus -11.
If it's Skylar Thompson, I sure do too. I really do.
Buffalo is our number one team. I mean, you know.
All right. By the way, again, I'm tripping off the Minnesota thing. 27th. You may have answered this already. I might have missed it. Is there a team that was ranked lower in just a season's rankings that made the postseason lower than 27th?
No, 27th is the lowest for any of the postseason teams. We have the Giants were 21st.
No, I'm saying in previous years, was there ever a team that was ranked lower than 27?
Oh, yeah, the Rams. I believe the 2004 Rams were 32nd.
I'm told that's not good, 32nd. I'm told that's not good.
Yeah, that year was crazy. I mean, it really was like the NFC had one good team in 2004.
Okay, so go on with what you were saying. So Vikings 27th, Giants 21st. I'm curious what the others are.
These are the playoff teams that are below average. Tampa Bay 17th and the Chargers 18th.
Ooh.
The Chargers are surprisingly mediocre in our numbers for this year, but an asterisk, right? Like, no Joey Bosa for most of that time. No Keenan Allen for a lot of that time. No Mike Williams for a lot of that time. The Chargers are probably a better team than our ratings suggest. But we have the Jaguars above them, and I kind of like the Jaguars are sneaky, man. I kind of like the Jaguars as the pick in this game.
Is there a head coach, Aaron, speaking of the Chargers, because it obviously triggers Brandon Staley in one's mind, is there a head coach that you know, sort of pump your fist about as being the analytics guy, the guy who just adheres to analytic-based decision-making better than anyone else? I know Brandon Staley was billed as that guy.
He used to be that guy. Yeah. Brandon Staley used to be that guy, and he went away from it this year. And I don't think there is a single coach. There are a few who I feel are very analytically sound compared to everybody else, like Nick Sirianni, Doug Peterson, Dan Campbell in Detroit. But no one coach that stands up.
Okay. So many things to ask you. Let me just ask you this real quick. We already talked about the Vikings are the worst team to make the postseason, ranked 27th. Who's the best ranked team that failed to make the postseason?
That would be the Detroit Lions.
Where do you have them?
They finished 9th in total DVOA and 6th in the weighted ratings that give less weight to the early season.
Any better predictor of postseason performance? I know it doesn't apply to the Lions. Weighted versus standard DVOA?
Weighted is a slightly better predictor, but there's actually not that much difference.
Okay. Whole bunch more to ask Aaron, including what his projections were from before the season and how they ended up manifesting or not manifesting. That and so much more. And who's the greatest team of all time since 1981? Always a fun question and answer. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network, coming back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders, the creator of Football Outsiders, kind enough to hang around for a second segment with us here on our annual postseason edition with Aaron. And Aaron, Chris Felica and I, Will Hill, I was texting with them yesterday. I was like, who's your sixth power-ranked team in the NFL? And Felica said to me, he said, the Lions, via text. And I said, oh, I have the Lions 9th. And so when you just said weighted DVOA, you have them 6th, he just sent me a emoji that features one finger. So I just want to point that out. he feels very vindicated by this development. All right, so we talk about teams in general. I'm curious, you do units as well, offense, defense, special teams. And oftentimes you highlight a specific one of those units year after year as being historically great or historically poor. Did we have any of those to either side this year?
The Colts offense was one of the 15 worst offenses.
Since 1981.
Since 1981.
Wow.
Other than that, none of the units were particularly good or bad. In fact, special teams in particular was really condensed this year. Like, really condensed.
That's interesting about the Colts. Wow. Were they particularly horrific under one quarterback versus the others? I just want to ask.
No, they were all bad.
They were all
the
bad.
Bad, and the running game was bad. Everything was bad. Everything about the Colts offense was bad.
It's very non-discriminatory of your analytics on that. All right, what about preseason? So you pick, you project who you believe the 14 postseason teams are going to be. How'd you do this year?
We got 9 out of 14. And I'm still in the running for my Super Bowl pick. My Super Bowl pick was Bills versus Eagles, and that's still looking like a good shot, so we'll see what happens.
Wow.
We had the Bills. The Bills were projected to be our number one team, and they were our number one team for this year. And our biggest miss was probably the Rams, but I think that was everybody's miss.
So who flummoxed you the most then? Like, what team did you have? There's two parts to this. Let's take it from pre-flop and then week to week. But what team from your projections preseason were you the most off on, either to the good or the bad?
I think San Francisco we did not realize their defense would be this good and that their offense, I mean, you know, when we were projecting before the season, we were projecting Trey Lance at quarterback, and it was like, you know, you didn't know what you were going to get out of a guy who had never played. So then it turned into Garoppolo, and well, our projection would have been higher with Garoppolo. And then it became Brock Purdy, and now it's, I don't even know how they're doing it, right? I mean, like, they've been better with Purdy than they were with Garoppolo. It's kind of nuts.
What was a lot of people had liked the Bills, obviously, going into this season. Was there a team that you're like, we got this team right and we're pumped about it?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
I mean, the fact that we had the Eagles so high and we said, not only will the Eagles be one of the best teams in the league, they will have the easiest schedule in the league, and that gives them the inside track to the number one seed. And that's exactly how it played out.
Yeah. Because people like the Eagles, they just didn't like them that much, I guess.
Right. Yeah, but the Eagles were not a popular Super Bowl. They were something like seventh or eighth in Super Bowl odds. Right. The idea that, like, picking the Eagles to win the NFC was chalk is just wrong. That's not what most people were picking.
Okay, and so this is also interesting from a predictive standpoint, because all this is the function of this is to give people sort of context as they do their handicapping into the postseason, like, oh, yeah, but they actually suck, you know, or that kind of thing when they're making a bet. I want to bet, oh, yeah, that's right, they're actually terrible. From week to week, because I know you and I have talked about this before, it's one thing if teams are generally within a certain parameter and you can count on them to perform a certain way. Was there a particularly volatile team where from week to week you're just like, we can't make any heads or tails of?
Dallas, I think, was like that. Detroit was volatile, but mostly because they were better later in the season and not as good early, although there was that Carolina game that the Carolina game that came out of nowhere where all of a sudden their defense was horrible. But I'd say Dallas was probably the most volatile team.
All right, let me ask you about sort of like the all 22 question. And you and I have talked about this in different forms through the years. You know, you notice different things happening in the NFL on field. So this is less about predictive than it is just about a football sort of general question. You notice any different trends where you know, wide receivers most doubled or corners most often failed by their safeties? Did you have any of that stuck out this year?
Like specific players?
Yeah, I guess. Well, maybe specific players, or did you notice teams using certain formations more than they ever did before? Whatever. I'll just leave it open-ended.
It was interesting. I'm trying to like pick one right off the top of my brain. There were actually a couple of teams that didn't use 11 personnel as their most common personnel group this year. That's interesting.
Oh, that is.
That's been the number one personnel group for everybody. Baltimore, I think, only used 11 personnel as like their fourth most popular personnel group or something because they had like no wide receivers. But I think the overall general trend across the league is that offense was down a little bit, and it was down a little bit last year. Offense peaked in 2020 in the COVID year, and we may have hit peak offense, right? Offense had been going up gradually over the years, year after year after year, and we may have hit peak offense in 2020. Like it may not go higher than that.
When you talk about a team like the Lions and how you have them ninth and then weighted even higher, weighted DVOA, meaning more weight to the last part of the season, yeah. Does that, in your history of Football Outsiders and projections, does that typically translate beautifully to the next season?
No. You would think it would, but it doesn't. The weighted numbers where you're better at the end of the season do not roll over to the next year the way you would expect. And that's especially true for players. There are a lot of quarterbacks will be better in the second half of the year, and you'll be like, well, he's a young quarterback, and he finally got it. And then the following year, they go back down. Like, it's really interesting the way first half, second half splits do not roll over to the next year.
And is that just, in your opinion, just the nature of football, that nothing is static and coaches change, or what do you make of that?
I don't know, you know, because some of it you would think personnel changes, you know, if the reason for a team to be better in the second half is the personnel change, and then that personnel change carries over to the next year, you would think that the quality would carry over to the next year, but it doesn't. I think some of it is just, you know, 7 or 8 games is just too much of a small sample size to go by, and you're just better off going by the whole season, 17-game sample size, than you are just looking at like the second half of the year.
Kelly, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this next one. You ready for this? Hey, since 1981, which is as far as your ratings go back there over at Football Outsiders, Aaron, What's the greatest football team of all time?
Aren't your regular listeners getting tired of me talking?
Yes, seriously.
What do you mean? I've never asked this before.
The 1991 Washington Redskins are the best team we've ever measured.
Yes. Who's second? 2007 Patriots?
1985 Bears.
1985 Bears, followed by the
2007 Patriots, yeah.
Aaron, what's even weirder is he asks for this recording every time and just goes home and listens to it all afternoon.
Just bask, close my eyes, lean back and listen to it. Mark Rippon sacked 7 times that year, Kelly. 7. That's it.
Compared to Justin Fields, who was sacked like 7 times a game this year. Right. Or something. I mean, Justin Fields had one of the highest sack rates of all time this year.
All right, so let's put a bow on this then, Aaron. Okay, you had Buffalo and Philly, so you guys got that part right. So I don't expect you to stray too much because obviously you're leaning on those two projections. But I guess the question to wrap this up is, if there is a team in either the AFC or the NFC that most people aren't thinking about right now, so not the big 5 at the top, let's say. Let's take out Dallas and Baltimore as not in that top 5. Who's the team? If I come to you from the future and I say, Aaron, this team got to the Super Bowl, they could win it all, who would that team be?
Out, not one of the top ones?
Not at, it has to be a different answer than the top.
I guess we have Jacksonville the highest once you get past those 7 teams.
Okay.
But we have the top 4 way ahead of everybody else. The Bengals are great, but the Bengals would have to go on the road and win probably in Buffalo and in Kansas City to make the Super Bowl. That's really hard.
And that matters.
So we have the top 4 teams all at about 20%. And then everybody else combines for 20%.
Yeah, that matters greatly, and it cannot be overstated, and we haven't said this yet, but it cannot be overstated that having the number 1 seed and not actually having to play a game is the biggest thing, right?
That's why Kansas City is our most likely team to win the Super Bowl, even though they're not number 1 in our ratings.
Aaron, can't thank you enough. It's always a pleasure to get together with you. To tell folks what they can find at Football Outsiders.
Lots of content, footballoutsiders.com, and there'll be lots of playoff previews, and you should check out FO Plus at footballoutsiders.com/subscribe. Fantasy projections will continue into the playoffs for DFS players, picks against the spread, and then, you know, we're sending Mike Tenier down to the Senior Bowl in a couple of weeks, and we'll start our draft coverage.
Love it. Aaron Schatz. Bill James is to baseball what Aaron Schatz is to football. Aaron's going to be very bashful about that comparison, but that's the truth. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Aaron Schatz, everybody. Pioneer in the analytics game in the National Football League. JBT will join us. We'll talk NBA. I believe we'll take a look at our futures bets from earlier in the season.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. That's $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, you know, with all this amazing, you know, college football route yesterday, Georgia over TCU, some of the amazing playoff implications in the NFL this past weekend, you know what we didn't ever bring up? One of the great moments in NFL interview history this past week. Did you see the Jamal Williams post-game interview? I want to say it's Melissa Stark, right? Sunday night, is it Melissa Stark?
I'm not sure.
Jamal Williams after the Detroit Green Bay game?
This was when we were texting about.
Jamal Williams.
It really was.
Jamal Williams, in the course of one interview, goes from unbelievably Hard Knocks level emotional. If you watch the Detroit Lions preseason Hard Knocks, he would like just get super emotional talking to the team. So he starts just going on about how just unbelievable this Lions team was, even though they didn't get to the postseason, how this meant to him and how everything is. He's crying. And then on a dime, he turns he turns against the haters.
I had to pull up one of the articles because it was his grandfather that had passed away, and he was super emotional. He's in tears.
We were texting
about other stuff at the time, and you were like, man, this is getting pretty emotional.
I texted. I said, look how emotional Jamal was.
And then 180
on a dime, he just goes off on the haters. I know you're out there. I haven't watched any TV, but I know you're there. Like, you pointed that out.
It really was.
By the
great.
Way, he's like, I've seen none of this myself, but I'm told. Yeah.
It was definitely one of the better postgame interviews I've ever seen.
That is up for a best postgame interview. You know the other candidate would be this year? Jair Alexander after the Dolphins-Packers game. It was awesome.
Yeah.
As well.
The best part about this one, though, is that we were texting about it. Because you were like, man, this is getting emotional.
Amazing.
And then it immediately turned around.
By the time he turned
like, we're
off.
Coming for you out there.
I hate you people. He did say that, but that's basically what he wanted to say. Okay, so now we go back and we look at our futures bets from earlier in the season, before the season started, and then during the season. And Kelly, to say that some of these are comical would be an understatement.
Yeah.
All right, so my only futures...
I think I have more comical ones than you do.
Well, I got some comical ones. So my only futures before the season started, I got the Niners to win the NFC and the Super Bowl. I did that again the day that they decided to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. So... I got plus 705 to win the conference. I got plus 1650 to win it all. Certainly not the best numbers out there, but good enough for me at the time, and I'm thrilled to have them. And yes, it's Brock Purdy, and it's not Jimmy Garoppolo. And sometimes you just sort of have a bet go a different way and still looks pretty good to me. I think the Niners are great. I think they're getting to the Super Bowl. I also have the Chargers because I did go through. I went through a moment in the preseason where I was saying to people, I was like, every year people love the Chargers, and every year I've resisted it, but this year I'm on board.
Yeah, I did too.
And I got him plus 1050 to win it all.
I don't really know how you can... Like, this team is so easy to fall in love with, but it's just like nobody's ever healthy, ever.
These other two bets I made during the season, and I blame completely on Chris Mortensen. Chris Mortensen... I can't remember what week it was.
This.
I can't remember what week it was. But you remember Chris Mortensen came out with a report. And at the time, I think the Bills and the Dolphins were tied for the lead in the AFC East. I want to say they were both 8-3 or 8-5, whatever it was. And Chris Mortensen comes on and goes, Josh Allen, UCL, could be out. And who knows for how long. That might have just been my part. Maybe that's what I heard.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'm betting the Dolphins and I'm betting the Jets.
Well, and we were hearing what if it was a pitcher in Major League Baseball,
yeah, UCL,
right? You know, he'd be under the knife and out for the
year. Are you kidding me? I got the Jets at 20-1. I got the Dolphins at plus 575, and I'm like, look at me.
I mean, I still don't know that Josh Allen is completely healthy. Like, I do think it's a legit injury he's been battling through all season long. He's just that good.
Anyway, stupid me. Come on, Chris Mortensen. I have Justin Herbert to win MVP. Yeah, it's not going to happen. I had him to lead the NFL in passing yards. Already an X.
Second.
Did I have... I had Arthur Smith, first coach to be fired. I sure did. I forgot all about that bet.
And then Isaiah's being nice.
Are you
nice
sure source. That was me? I don't even remember that. Wow. All right, then I have Pete Carroll to win coach of the year at 10-1. And these are definitely all me. Jahan Dotson, 40-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Nice season, but come on. Micah Parsons to win Defensive Player of the Year. Plus 650. What a bet. That was a slam dunk bet to like a minute ago.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Derrick Henry to win Comeback Player of the Year. Plus 550. By the way, you know there's still some people out there who think that's a possibility? I do not.
No way.
But like Will Hill sent me like something from Fox Sports yesterday. And they did a poll of like some of their NFL guys on who they think wins the awards. One of them had Derrick Henry winning Comeback Player of the Year. I'm like, no, it's not happening.
Well, I mean, that's to Jason's point from yesterday, right?
It only takes 8 votes.
It only takes a certain amount of guys to think that.
Brandon Staley to win Coach of the Year. 10-1. And then I do have Brock Purdy, Offensive Rookie of the Year, plus 750. Make me right, Brock. Make this less painful. So those aren't Talia Tagovailoa bad to win the Heisman. But those are some pretty bad bets in the end.
Yeah. I got some duds here.
What you got?
Yeah, some duds. let's see. Let's start preseason ones. The Giants ones are not. Those are both in season. But, yeah. Yeah, Russell Wilson gets he's going to the Broncos. Let me get ahead of these number moves, Gil. This is, I mean, when did that happen?
Oh, wait. I had a couple of those, too.
He's being nice. You're on that train, too?
Yeah, he's being
just
nice.
Just weren't on your graphic.
Yeah.
Okay. Because these were bet. When did we bet these? What was that, March,
the day
April?
He got signed.
I don't even know when that happened anymore. I mean, this is forever ago.
Yeah.
So that's when we made those bets, trying to get ahead of number moves, which, you know, CLV store. We could have cashed those in May before the rest of the AFC West started loading up. Colts is by far my biggest swing and miss of the year. That's not even close.
You were not alone. You were not alone on that.
I mean, look, I think as the season played out, the AFC South is terrible. That was the handicap, is that I thought they were the best team in the AFC South because the rest of the AFC South was complete trash. Well, no, just all four teams in there are pretty much complete trash. I don't even think the Jags are all that good.
Jeff Parlay was the only one I remember who was like, they're going to, no. But everybody else
really?
Loved them.
Good for
him. Everybody else loved them.
Vikings, obviously preseason, win NFC North, alt over on the wins. That was nice. Giants, these were both in season when we were doing win totals.
Yes.
Giants, so over 7.5 and under 10, both get home.
So we called that one when we did the adjusted season win totals about the Giants.
Yes. Yep. If you go to the next one, Eagles. Eagles, Vikings, Colts were the three biggest preseason bets that I had. So getting two of those three home, that stuff's nice. Packers was just a hedge off the Vikings stuff. So that's really just a hedge there. Smaller play. Saints, that was a numbers play on the NFC South. We thought that was going to be pretty wide open this year. Ended up being. Saints just weren't the team. Couldn't get it done. And Titans, talk about sucking out on a bet here. Titans to miss the playoffs somehow gets home. I've had bets in back-to-back years now. The Ravens on their under alt win total last year when they lost, what, their final six games or something like that? And then the Titans to miss the playoffs. I thought they shouldn't have any chance. Shouldn't have had any chance, but did get home. Panthers have fewest wins. Yeah, that's not going to get there. If we go to the players, Isaiah was very kind to us, not grading some of these player ones. Like, Russ has still got a chance. I'm still live, 25-1.
Yeah, sure.
Didn't you bet Justin Jefferson with me that day?
I did not.
You didn't?
I did not.
Oh, man, we nailed that one.
Yeah. Sure
when,
did.
To lead the league in receiving yards, plus 130, that gets home. I actually thought that number was bigger. I guess not.
Bro, you had Jameis Winston to win MVP at
200-1.
Yes.
Rode the bench all year. I guess we've got, me and you still have a bunch of award tickets.
The only saving grace to this is that, and I think this is the case for you too, but I know for me, for the pre-flop awards markets, so not the ones in season, but the pre-flop awards markets were all limited bets because you bet them in far away place.
Yeah.
And they sort of limit you artificially. But that's the only saving grace.
There's also things here where, and maybe we do this too much, but like there's a couple of the bets that I have these player bets on. I don't regret these. Kenny Pickett, when we made that bet, I still think that was a smart bet to make at the time.
I got that bet, yep.
Like Jalen Tolbert, like that was right in the preseason when the Cowboys, all their wide receivers were done, and we thought there were all these reports about how he was going to be the second wide receiver across from CeeDee Lamb. Because remember going into the year, all the guys were injured?
I just want to say you're burying the headline. Are you done, by the way? Because I'm going to wrap this up. You're burying the headline. Your worst bet of them all.
Colts?
No.
What?
The day that we thought Deshaun Watson was going to be an Atlanta Falcon.
Kelly, yeah, that didn't even make the graphic.
Kelly and Matt Brown raced. What did you bet on the Falcons?
14-1 to win the division or something like that. And then somehow it was in play, like in the final 2 weeks of the year.
That's great. Oh, it was only division. I thought you guys did
more.
It was
just division.
That.
Yeah, it was just division.
And then all of a sudden the Browns turned around because he was totally a Falcon for one day. And the Browns were like, we'll give you $253 million. No questions asked. How about that? JBT on the NBA on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
See, that's the toughest one we got. I couldn't make it through that one when I was doing reads last week. It's a long one.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
It's a doozy, man.
You were slow on the draw.
I maybe lost the email one time, and then one time I was not prepared at all.
2.5 second radio pause. Let's do a pro tip, by the way. And this is a great pro tip based on that last segment we just did.
Yeah, I think we gave good examples that last segment.
I think we did. We're all victims of it, or we're all susceptible to them. News-based betting can be very profitable. We talk about it all the time, specifically when it comes to NFL and NBA drafts. But look, be prepared to swing and miss on a couple, too. For example,
Josh Allen's elbow injury, not shoulder.
UCL, right, the elbow. Yep. Correct. Ulna collateral ligament, I believe, is that what that stands for?
Stop showing off.
It's my medical degree, Kelly, is what that was.
What was the word we got tweeted in today that we had to, like, look up?
Mollywopped.
No, it was something else. About your face.
Oh, my visage. Or visage or whatever it is.
Stop tweeting big words at us out there.
Another example, of course, Deshaun Watson going to the Falcons. It's your pro tip for the hour. Be prepared to swing and miss on some of those. We do one every hour on Visa across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for Visa Pro subscribers only at Visa.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. The tweet you're referring to is from Cricket Man, Kelly. Cricket Man says, voice coming back fast. Now, I don't normally notice your visage. Is that how you pronounce that? Visage?
Sure.
Visage?
Let's go with visage. It sounds fancier.
But you're one fatigued dude. I bet they're butt tracks following you around. Thanks for working. Damn work ethic ruins a good sick.
Yeah, we didn't really know what that tweet meant, but yeah. We did have to Google the word visage.
He says I'm dragging is what he's saying. Hey, man, I'm an American hero. Somebody just ranked it right behind Jordan's flu game, and what was the other game? They put me third.
Yeah, you're right there.
American hero.
You're right there.
Jonathan Von Tobel's an American hero. He's also our senior NBA analyst. He's also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, which our own Kelly Bidlin co-hosts, you know, from time to time. It's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing, JVT?
I'm great. Can I throw three things at you real quick?
Please.
Ulnar instead of ulna.
Okay.
Right? And Ulnar. The UCL.
See, I wasn't that good.
Visage. Is the way you do it. I just looked these up, by the way.
For you. These are not things.
Yeah. And then also about betting on news. Do you do that a lot in the NBA? Because I'm not entirely sure about that. maybe like last night when I bet the Lakers and then find out 6 hours later LeBron James is actually not going to play because of an ankle soreness. So,
how often does that get the best of you?
I'd say like pretty often. I was going to say I don't know how often, like over 50%, but it happens. And it happens quite a bit. And look, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you still like cover numbers, right? Even though you get the worst of it because the news hits you. But it does happen. And it is not the most fun thing in the world, especially when it's like a guy who, like yesterday, LeBron was listed as probable. And then, of course, like 4 hours later, he's like, oh, wait, no, it's sore. He's not going to play.
Probably not.
Let's use this very specific example, though. Because JVT and I bet a fair amount of overnights. I don't know how, I don't know how many other people do that out there. So it's betting an overnight line with a guy not on an injury report at all, who then in the morning shows up as probable, then in the afternoon goes to questionable, and then 2 hours before the game gets ruled out. So, JVT, how many times a year do you get burnt by that? I'm going to guess 10-ish, 10 and a half, over under 10 and a half times?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is. I love the NBA. It's so
gambling is fun.
Right.
Speaking of injuries, let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Kelly Goulet and I were having a conversation here off air about how, and I brought up the difference between this and baseball, right? Baseball, you play 162 games, and then the postseason is the most random thing ever. Basketball, you play 82 games, but typically in the postseason, talent always wins. So you know if you're available for the postseason, that's all that really matters. Would you say that that's at the core of explaining why, hey, Kevin Durant's going to be out for a period of time, but in the end, does it really matter about futures bets on this team?
I completely agree. And I've made the case, and I brought this up to Kelly before, Gil. I have never understood, like, take the Philadelphia 76ers, for example, right? I never really understood when Joel Embiid and James Harden went out with injury, why you would adjust, like, immensely on a future when you know that there is a timeline for their return and that eventually they're going to come back, right? So at one point, the 76ers bottomed out at, like, 26-1 to win the NBA title. They're now well inside 20. I think they're now back to, like, 16 or 15-1. So to your point, like, with the Brooklyn Nets, I've seen some futures adjustments, but we know he's going to come back. So, like, the probability of them winning a championship, maybe it gets tweaked because of seeding or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, the probability that they're going to win is going to remain pretty much intact, right? Whatever that probability is. So I would agree with that. As long as these guys are going to come back and they're going to be on the floor and you have these stars that are going to be available, they're still going to be in a pretty good position to do whatever they're, you know, eventually going to do.
Did this, you know, going back to when KD had been playing now, this latest run by the Brooklyn Nets, which was the greatest 20-game run in Nets franchise history since they came over from the ABA in the mid-70s. They went 18-2. Was that enough of a sample size for you to look at that, JVT, and say, yep, everything we ever imagined this team could be is finally here, and they ought to be considered at the top of the heap, or if not the top, right up close to the top of the heap to win it all?
I think so. And I don't even think, guys, it's because of what they've been doing offensively. Because if I were to tell you, hey, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are acting normal for once, like everything's like offensively is working out for them. It's what they've been doing defensively and the role players that are doing it, right? Ben Simmons is playing extremely well on that end of the floor. Nick Claxton, guys, last week was 80-1, 88-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. He's now 9-1. Claxton's been incredible with what he's been able to do for them at center in the minutes that he has played, especially during this run. Even guys like Royce O'Neal, who are picking up some really good minutes defensively on some of these perimeter threats that they have to face. I think that, to me, is the biggest difference, right? If they were just playing really good offense, but they were still giving up, you know, 119 points per 100 possessions during this run, you could say, you know, maybe that's not sustainable. I think it's sustainable. And you see the basic metrics right there. I mean, just in pure point differential, they're outscoring opponents by 4 points per game. This team's legit, Gil. And if they're going to continue to do it, and Jacques Vaughn's going to continue to press all the right buttons defensively with some of these lineups, and KD's going to play defense the way that he has been this year, this is a legitimate contender in the Eastern Conference. I don't think there's any question about it. And the sample size is large enough to answer that question.
Shout out to Will Hill, who has a 50-1 ticket on them, which he got right sort of at the height of the off-season shenanigans involving both KD and Kyrie Irving. Okay, I didn't get a chance to ask you this, but Kelly and I brought it up last week. The Warriors home-road splits thing, I think we've touched on it before. We're still saying this is just random statistical variance, right? There's nothing to this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially as we've watched, so I've been keeping track of this by month. Home court really started to diminish in the month of December. It was only worth 1 point in December, maybe just a little bit over that if you account for, like, you know, pace and whatnot. So you can call it like 1.5. And in January, it's a super small sample size, so you can't take much of it. So I would say, yeah, like, it seems pretty random. But as you kind of know, Gil, like, you might think that, like, over the course of 41 games, that might be a big enough sample size. It still might not be small enough to really play out accurately. So maybe they keep doing this at home. But it is pretty incredible to watch them do it. And especially in the games, right, where they didn't have Curry. That was the weird part. They went back home. They had a homestand. And then they ripped off, like, what was it, 4 or 5 consecutive wins at home without Curry playing really well on the defensive end of the floor. So I would say, yes, it is pretty random. And especially in, you know, we won't call it a new building anymore, but it's been said that it's more of like the affluent out there. It's not like it's hardcore basketball fans. I feel like it is kind of an oddity, if you will, as opposed to them really playing well at home.
It's really opponents' 3-point percentage, and it just it's random. All right, we got a minute. What do you like tonight?
So I bet the Cavs. It's Donovan Mitchell's return game to Utah. He did play the Jazz already before earlier this year. I laid 3 with Cleveland. I think when you look at it, one of the keys when I'm betting against the Utah Jazz, which, by the way, they're starting to slide pretty bad here, it's can you rebound effectively and keep them off the offensive glass? And the Cavaliers can do that. Darius Garland is back, of course. This is going to be his third game back from injury. So those stretches without Donovan Mitchell on the floor should not be as agonizing on offense as they have been without Darius Garland around. So I laid that with 3. I think Mitchell's, of course, going to put forth a good performance, but I just think the Cavs match up well here with Utah.
All right. Appreciate it, John. Enjoy.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you. I feel better. The voice sounds great.
As I just completely choke on myself. Thank you, JBT. At me, JBT. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. Also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, writes for the website, VSiN.com, each and every day. Oh, Matt Brown and Stormy are definitely opening with the Cavs-Jazz game. You know why?
Why?
Because Matt Brown loves a revenge spot.
He loves spots. Big spot
He loves
guy.
Spots in general. Final countdown, 4 p.m. this afternoon. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.